You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. It's the After Party with Chris and Richard. We're looking at episode 8 of Outcast on Cinemax, What Lurks Within.
Ooh, dear.
That's an ominous title.
Just a bit.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so nice the way this starts. Like, we get to see Sydney, who's like, hey, apparently he has a side job. He works at a pinball's arcade.
He's delightful. No, he's a carny.
Yeah.
He's an old school carny. He's like, and you gotta play by the rules, kids.
But here, you know what? Have a couple extra tokens on me. He's like, what a nice guy. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He's a child. Well, I know.
Well,
not he's a molester.
Murderer.
But definitely murderer. Probably
molester. He does have what one could only refer to as a murder room.
But, you know, we feel relieved as we discover a little later on that, hey, that's not the Sydney we've grown to know and love now.
That's not, you know, delightful old man murdering Sydney.
Like,
either way, he's kind of murderous, but now we just get, this is such a fascinating pivot point in the series.
Definitely.
Up to now, we've had this idea that, well, you have the characters, somebody gets possessed, and the issue is, how do you get them out in the right way?
Yes.
And now we suddenly have this different question is exorcising them the right thing to do in the first place? And Sydney is the perfect case study for that, because you have a guy who, very definitely exhibiting some John Wayne Gacy-esque tendencies.
Yeah, to say the least. So he's not dressing as a clown. I'll give him that. Points to him for not doing that.
We did work at a carnival.
That's true. Well, or just like a neighborhood arcade or something.
No, because I think you actually see,
because it looked like there was just arcade games in the background.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But you could see, he's he is probably worse before he was possessed.
Yes.
You know, that you have a demon who likes to lay low, is trying to keep things under control. So this, you have this whole new question of, like, what does it mean, you know, why are the possessed people possessed has been the first question.
And you have the,
how do you stop them? But now the new question is, do you really want this to stop? Which is just, I don't think I've ever seen a horror series or horror franchise tackle that question of, say, well, you know, in a horrible world, is this the worst thing for them? Which is, who saw that one coming?
Right, very true. This certainly starts to draw the lines as well as who's allied with who. As Giles is, Police Chief Giles is firmly threw in with the Reverend and Kyle.
Yes.
Like, okay, whatever's happening is fucked up. And I know who I support here. Well, even he is a little confused confronting his friend, Fire Chief Guy.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that problem's not going away anytime soon. He tries to arrest Sydney for the assault of the Reverend, which no one in the town is really buying.
Yeah,
but you know, like I said, he's chosen his side, Kyle coming in to see him and talking with him is really one of the centerpiece moments of this whole series so far. As Sydney not only basically tells him, you wouldn't like the thing that I was before.
Yeah.
I was a monster. And the whole, we don't get to choose where we come in.
Yeah.
We're just here. We just show up.
And adding again this question of, why are they drawn to Kyle?
Yeah. And he just says, you're like a match in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we, on the way, we can see that as a beacon, you know? Why?
Yes.
Sorry, I don't mean to be
upset. On their way where, as well?
And even saying, you know, your mother's in a coma. If you just let her be, they would have eventually coexisted.
Yeah.
Which we're starting to see with Kat, the fire chief's wife. It's pretty much what seems like it happened with her.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, look, she's still there. She's just better.
Yeah, and there's this balance of, like, you know, how far, you know, it does seem that there's the coexistence seems to be who's at the front at any one point. As was proved with Grace Zabriskie's character, who would be quite adorable old Grace Zabriskie, and then suddenly would be
true. Demon
Grace.
Well, and that's the thing, is how much do we even believe these people, too?
Yes.
I mean, sure, Sydney may have come into a body that was a real piece of shit, a real work, but we've also seen, like, Grace Zabriskie apparently was very sweet before she got possessed, and then was a very nasty person afterwards.
And Kyle's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Who really has gone, and now Kyle is like, I'm a dad again. And that's one of the things I'm loving about the dynamic with Kyle, is that he is going, okay, you know, I'm somebody who withdrew from the world anyway, and now these demonic forces are telling me, like, you know what, you staying away from us was probably best for all concerned. And then also the particularly great moment of Fire Chief's wife explaining to the Reverend, just like, why are you afraid of the apocalypse? Isn't this the thing you're supposed to like? Don't you want the end of times?
Yeah, oh, unless you don't believe.
Yes.
And gets him with that stinger.
Yeah.
Unless you don't believe Jesus is coming back.
I love the fact that this program has now reached the point of saying, so really, do the demons have the moral high ground? Again, don't believe I've ever seen anybody go this way. This was a really, really strong episode.
Yeah, and once again, like, not even sure they're really even demons. We really have no idea what they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's little piece, we're being parceled out, tiny, like a word at a time, like, per episode of, like, a little more hints of what they might be. But, like, we don't know. We do know that they can, once they're past the awkward stage,
yes,
as Sydney tells Kyle, it's like, look, when we first get here, it's very confusing. And often,
for all and that was the interesting thing, it's very confusing for all concerned.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly you're dropped in a body and you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, I don't recognize anything or anything.
Yeah.
At all. Anything or anyone. I don't know what's going on. I'm scared. I'm violent. I'm confused. So, yeah, that's where the problems are with the early possession-ish type things. As they said earlier, like, I don't think it's the words from the Bible that are hurting them or the effect of the holy water. I think they don't like the sensation of being shouted at and water thrown on them.
Yes. Although we do have the revelation of the series' first truly evil character. Ginger Kid!
Oh, man. Who is not actually possessed by anything.
No, but is the... By, he, you know, he is
a sociopath.
He is their Renfield.
Yeah,
he's Patricia's. He's turned up and gone. I don't like the priest, so... And I don't like the fact that he's clearly banging my mom on the side.
Aaron, I think, is his
yes,
name.
Yes, I am going to do everything to mess with him. And there's that wonderful moment where you kind of sit and he's going, are you helping me? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, but Sydney doesn't know what to make of this.
It reminds me.
And it fits in this episode, they're coming together, because, like, it echoes what he's saying earlier about, like, both people are still there. Because
yeah.
Sydney, with his kid in his house, you can see he is fighting the other human side of himself off, who's like, kill that fucking kid.
Yeah. There's a moment, though, where he gives him a look, and it reminded me, have you ever seen Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things?
I have, in fact.
And there's a moment where... the evil theater manager throws his girlfriend to the zombies. And the zombies look at him with this, well, we're going to eat her, but you're the worst. And Sydney has that moment here. He has that same, Brent Spiner has that same moment where he's just looking at the kid going like, yo, I am clearly a evil black slime monster. Fallen from some other situation.
Chaotic.
And you're worse.
Chaotic neutral.
Yes. you're chaotic evil. You're a prick, basically.
A real piece of shit. Sorry to all the gingers out there and Richard for yet another terrible representation of you. And we know most of you are at least moderately better than that.
Yeah. I don't know how far I go with that.
But yeah, I mean, this was one of the most solid episodes we've seen. And one of the biggest steps forward with advancing the plot.
Back to back with the memorial ceremony last week, which again was just such a strong episode in advancing what is happening, who it's happening to, and throwing you off kilter about everything. This series, it's wonderful in the way that it balances. There will be a radical new piece of information, but it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like a radical turn. It's
yeah.
like, oh, here's a big extra bit that I can fit into the puzzle.
Yeah.
And that is, I think that's one of its strengths.
Meanwhile, I just starting to just feel sorry for the Reverend at this point.
Oh.
Everyone is just turning on him from all sides. And yeah, he didn't handle that situation in a very thoughtful manner, to be sure. Like, hey, other people might think I look like a freaking weirdo if I'd start screaming somebody's the devil in the middle of the town.
Yeah.
It may not be immediately convincing. But now he's getting the fallout from all that. Meantime, you've got Mark and Megan, where nothing is still happening.
Yep.
Still.
Still. Oh, well, no. I mean,
they have, like, one scene in this episode.
They have one scene, and he does start to admit some culpability. But the thing is, he's always done everything for the right intentions.
Yeah.
He's done them badly. He's screwed things up.
He's kind of a doofus.
He's a complete doofus. But he, you know, he means well. The fact that he got her, he's going to get her ring out of Hawk is just like, aw, that's adorable.
It's a sweet moment, but
what
it's still...
But
it's like
just
the scene
like,
you're
why?
Like, this has nothing to do with anything else that's going on this whole show.
Yeah. I am wondering how they're going to tie that in.
Yeah.
And you do have the... Although you have the we're close enough to the end of the season that this can not end well. You know, oh, we're all going to have dinner together and, you know, Kyle's kid's there who is, you know, increasingly an adorable Moppet.
Yes.
I think.
Amber.
Yeah. So, you know, you're just like, oh, this can't end well.
Well...
Something horrible. I just have a really bad feeling about
it. I'm wondering what the... If there was any meaning whatsoever to Meghan and Mark's kid wanting to say Grace, which they're all like, oh, that's weird. And they're like, where did you get that from? He's like, oh, this new kid at school named Debussy.
Yes.
I was like, what? This seems so out of nowhere.
And who calls that kid Debussy?
You know, we live in Austin. Come on. You know there's at least three Debussys right now in elementary school. Probably a few Vivaldis.
Probably six Elgin Marbles.
Well, I just read a whole article saying there in the last month there's been like thousands of kids named after Pokemon Go characters.
Oh, that's not going to be embarrassing in 20 years' time at all.
No.
No, not at all.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of this after party. We will be back next week with the next episode, episode 9.
The penultimate episode of the season.
The penultimate episode, heading towards the big finale. Well, hopefully big finale. It would suck if they all just kind of sit around and talk about their problems.
Naked turns up and goes, one of you.
It's just a coffee clutch.
Although I wouldn't be surprised.